Sing this morning completely and comprehensively corresponds with the scripture that I'm going to be reading and you're hearing this day. If you'll look in the book of Revelation chapter 21, I primarily want to use the text in verse 27, but I want to read the first few verses of the 21st chapter of Revelations. I want to speak to you this morning about the former things passing away. The former things passing away. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." You know, I was reading in the newspaper this week, and there are so many terrible, hideous things that are transpiring in our nation. Not far from where I used to live, they found that little 13-year-old girl that was abducted and molested. When you hear about a little league ball player getting so outraged because he lost a game that he takes a baseball bat to one of his friends and kills him. Or when you read in the paper about the effort to break one of the national I don't know if I should bring this up or not. But when you read about there being a national an attempt to break some national record on the amount of fornication one person is involved in, transpiring in our city, the beloved city of Nashville, they're seeking about 6,000 men for one woman. It makes you thankful and glad to read these passages that one of these days, these kind of things will pass away. Amen. My anticipation to escape the madness of this world intensifies as I get older. Heaven is going to be a holy place. We read about here in these first few verses of the 21st chapter of Revelation. But let's look at the last verse of the chapter, because I want to use this as my text, with relationship to these former things passing away. Where it says, "And there shall be in no wise entering into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination, or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life." Certainly there's a clear revelation in Scripture that nothing shall enter heaven that defiles. There will be no sin there. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to that day. We will never have a thought that wounds the heart of a holy God. Where we will always, I mean completely and comprehensively, always please God. Because nothing within us, within the human race, will enter heaven that defiles. I mean, it's been crazy for a long time. I mean, ever since Cain slew his brother Abel, things in the world have been chaotic. Look in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 10. I'll read some scripture there. I pray the Lord will bless me this morning as I try to speak to you about the former things passing away. But the Apostle Paul was writing the young minister Timothy and encouraging him. And he was talking about, you know, the craziness. And craziness has gone on for a long time. Look at verse 9. Knowing this, that the law is not made for the righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, and man-stealers and liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine. I'm looking forward to going to heaven where I will be forever in a holy place. Heaven is the house of a holy God. Now I want to encourage you young families that you restrict the things that you allow into your home. Fathers, let me admonish you that God holds you primarily accountable for the things that you allow in your home. I believe if you're head of the home, you need to govern, you need to make sure, you need to monitor the things that you allow in your home. Now listen, we can't do anything about what goes on in the world, but you can do something about what goes on in your own home. Your home should be a place that reflects the holiness of heaven. It should be a place of purity, because when we get to heaven, heaven's going to be a pure place. When I read about there not entering heaven anything that defiles, there are things that are going to be absolutely excluded. Anything that's unholy and anything that's sinful will not enter there, because that is the house of God. Now, as we go through life, we have the privilege of experiencing God's grace, Him helping us. And as we go through life, if we don't from time to time look heavenward, if we don't anticipate our hope. People, I've got a glorious, marvelous, wonderful anticipation. I have a wonderful hope. I'm going to heaven. Amen. I'm going to escape this world. I'm going to leave this world where these things take place that defile the sinful, terrible, unholy, lasciviousness that's all around us, and it's open lasciviousness. Our kids are exposed to it. We are exposed to it. We live in a pornographic society, and our whole society is exposed to it. But one of these days, we're going to escape. Jesus told us that things would be very different in heaven. He told us in the 20th chapter of Luke, verses 34 through 36. You know, the Pharisees brought this analogy to him about a man who was married to a woman, and he died, and his brother married her, and another brother married her, he died. And they asked him, well, whose wife will she be in the resurrection? Jesus said, you don't have a clue. You don't understand the power of God, nor the way it will be in heaven. The Bible teaches us that we shall be as the angels. Amen. Now, I love my wife, but I believe that that marital bond ends in death. Amen. We won't be as husbands and wives in heaven. Amen. We'll be one family dwelling in one home. We'll be in one house, and that'll be the house of God. I'm glad I know the Lord Jesus Christ. He is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and then I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. People, you need to know that you're saved here and now, and have the Lord as your shepherd, that you might be able to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Oh, what a glorious day that's going to be when all the redeemed are gathered in and all these former things shall pass away. None of this bad stuff shall be there. And I want you to consider this morning how different it's going to be when we get to heaven. The Bible teaches us in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 13, nevertheless, we according to His promise, we look for a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. I'm looking forward to that new day. Amen. When I enter into my new home. See, heaven is my goal. I'm looking forward to singing a new song and receiving a new name. That's written on that white stone. I'm looking forward to that newness that we experience when the new heaven, when the new earth is created in righteousness. There will be nothing there that defiles because all these former things shall have passed away. Thursday night, as I was speaking to the track girls, one of the young ladies that had been saved, who has obviously had a very terrible and troublesome life. She said, Pastor, she said, would you write down some scripture for me that I might read? That when I get upset, I will be calmed. Well, I immediately started writing down some of my favorite passages, like the 23rd Psalm and the 40th Psalm. I love the 40th Psalm. And usually when I'm talking to someone who's pretty much a new Christian, I encourage them to read the book of John, 1 John. Oh, some beautiful, wonderful things in the book of John. And it's pretty easy to understand. And then suddenly as I was writing those passages down, I said, I can't leave out the 21st chapter of Revelation. And I told her, I said, look, I'm writing this down. I said, don't try to interpret it or even try to fully understand it. Just read it. People, if it doesn't make you calm, knowing that these former things are going to pass away, I don't know what will. Jesus is going to fix all the brokenness that has transpired, all the wrongs that has been committed. Jesus is going to take care of that. These former problems are going to pass away. These former divisions are going to pass away. He starts in the first verse of this 21st chapter and talks about there being no more sea. And we're not really that acquainted with the troublesomeness of a sea. But seas were very dangerous. Wind could come up suddenly. And there was a sea that separated people. We know that John the Revelator was on the island of Patmos. And it was his prison. It was the bars that kept him separated from God's people. He was there alone. And he was by himself. And he had been left there on the island of Patmos as a prison. And the bars and the walls of his prison were the sea. But he says that he saw that there was no more sea. There's a lot of things that keep us imprisoned. There's a lot of things that keep us separated. There's a lot of things that keep us divided. But I'm telling you, there's coming a day where there'll be no divisions. No. There won't be this little group over here in heaven and another little group over here that won't fellowship this group or like this group. I'm telling you, everybody in heaven will enjoy each other. Amen. We'll be as one. We'll be in the presence of God. God will be tabernacled with us. What a glorious time that will be. We'll be all brothers and sisters in Christ. We'll all like one another and we'll get along. Some of you married folks get along better in heaven than you get along here on earth. Yeah, there's going to be fellowship in heaven. We're going to have a holy fellowship when we all get to heaven. What a glorious time that's going to be when we all are gathered in. But I wanted to give some scripture to help calm that little girl. And,
and you know, these symbolic things, this place, paradise, the New Jerusalem. But the most glorious thing that I read in these things is not just the gates of pearl or the glistening of foundations, but the great walls of jasper. But the wonderful thing that I read about here is that all these former things are going to pass away. Jesus says in verse 5, notice there in verse 5 of the 21st chapter of Revelation, He says, "Behold, I make all things new." I'm looking forward to a new start. Hey, my life hasn't been perfect. Has your life been perfect? No. I'm looking forward to a new body. Yeah, even in my ministry, you know, I've been preaching almost 25 years, but I've not always pleased God. But when I get to heaven, I will always please God. Why? Because nothing that defiles shall enter there. Amen. You know, for me to stand up here and tell you I've always had pure thoughts for the last 25 years, that would be a lie, and y'all would know it was a lie. Oh, but when I get to heaven, my mind will be pure. My life will be pure and holy. See, I constantly have to go get cleansing through the crimson flow of Christ now. But when I get there, Christ will be with me. I will be united to Him. We will be as one. I look forward to the new world, the new heaven, the new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. I look forward to having to be able to sing that new song. Amen. In the new city. In this new life that's an eternal life, an everlasting life. I believe it will always be new for us. I don't know how He's going to do it, but behold, all things shall always be new. He talks about in these passages. I mean, read, when we read verse 4, and I'm not going to hold you very long, but I'm happy I'm going to heaven. You know, we just don't know from day to day when we're going to be plunged into terrible sorrows. Oh, Willie Taylor used to say that happiness is just brief moments between tragedies. We know that there's people today that are grieving and in sorrow. But there's coming a day when there will be no more sorrow. All of the former sorrows will have passed away, will cease to exist. They will be no more. The sorrows of our life. You know, there's a lot of things that mutate, a lot of things that agitate us in life. We're driven down. You know, we're like the sea many times. You know, we're driven down. We're driven by the wind. We go into deep billows of sorrow. They roll over our soul. But as He said in the first verse, there will be no more sea. I believe there'll be no more trouble for our lives. Jesus said, "In this world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." And I believe through Jesus Christ and what He did for us in saving us and redeeming this world, that when we get to heaven, He will show His power in overcoming every sorrow, every trouble, every problem that we have ever had or ever will have. There will be no more sorrow. You know, we have different sorrows and different joys. I've not went through some of the bereavement that you have gone through. I told Sister Sue's brother at the funeral home, I said, "You know, I don't know exactly what you're going through because I've not lost my dad." You know, some of you have gone through great sorrows, great bereavements. And to know that Jesus is going to eliminate those from ever happening again should bring you great comfort and consolation. "I will sorrow like this never again." There's been times that we've gone through calmness and God gives us grace, and I'm thankful for that. But I'd rather just not go through the problem to begin with, wouldn't you? I mean, I'm thankful for the grace of God. I really am. When I go through trouble or problems or sorrow, when we're grieving over the loss of loved one or had some kind of difficulty, you know, I'm thankful for the comfort and the consolation. I'm thankful for His rod and His staff that comfort me. The Holy Spirit and the promises of God's Word, I'm thankful for them. They do bring me comfort. But I'd rather not have went through it to begin with. Amen? Yeah. Yeah. And that's what He promises us here. Thank God. There'll be no more commotion and tribulation. There'll be no more tribulation or turbulence in our lives. There'll be nothing to upset us, nothing to overwhelm us. There'll be no more tears. There'll be no more deaths. There'll be no graveyards in heaven. Amen. Now, I know some of you have a fascination going to the graveyard and walking around. That's fine. But there won't be places like that in heaven. Actually, there won't be no more places like that here on earth, because they're all going to be destroyed. Well, better yet, they're going to be eliminated, because everyone in them will be resurrected. They're actually resurrection sites. They're not graveyards. There's going to be a day of resurrection. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah. So they will cease to they'll cease to exist with the coming of the Lord. Amen? Oh, but think about it. No more death, no more sorrow, no more crying, no more pain. Nothing there shall defile us. There'll be nothing in heaven that shall defile. There'll be no more curses upon the human race, for all the former things shall have passed away. I read a little story about a boy that went in to pick out a puppy. There was a bunch of puppies, and if y'all have ever done that, you know, and his mom and dad probably finally let him get a puppy, and he was looking at all the puppies, and there was one little puppy, and boy, its tail was going like this. Just shaking and going back and forth and up and down. And he says, I want the one with the happy ending. Man, I'll tell you something. I've got a happy ending. No! What kind of sorrows or pains or tribulations I face in this life, I've got a happy ending. Yes. Oh, praise His sweet and holy name. We go through a lot of grief of many different kinds. Some of us have lost property and finances and friends. We've had disappointments and persecutions. We've had sorrows upon sorrows. We've had sorrows of sin, times when we've not loved God like we should have. That'll never happen in heaven. I don't know if you've ever been disappointed in yourself, but I think every one of us as Christians from time to time, we look at our lives and say, I should be a better Christian. And that won't be there in heaven. Amen. I will never, ever, ever again disappoint God. Because nothing that defiles shall be there. And with all the defilement removed, there'll be nothing to prevent me from always pleasing God. Whew. Now, I know there's times in my life that He looks down off His lofty throne and He's satisfied with me. I feel it. Y'all know what I'm talking about. I wish I could stay there. Don't you? Amen. But we live in a wicked world. But the wickedness will be removed one of these days. And since the fall of man, to this very hour, there are perpetual sorrows and defilements that go on in nations and families and tribes. There's constant perpetual grief. You know, no one, when you rise every morning, there's nothing to exempt you from going to the conclusion of that day, or coming to the conclusion of that day, without entering into some tremendous sorrow. You're not exempt, my friend. You are not excluded. And you know, there are times we get up of a morning, we need to just anticipate this could be my day that I experience the evil day. The Bible says the evil day will come for you. We're going to have an evil day. The evil day will come for you. But listen, be of good cheer. There's coming a day of perfect joy, peace, and satisfaction. There's coming a perfect day. A day, an eternal day, where the sun will always shine. Amen. There'll be a day of no clouds. The land of uncloudy days. Amen. I was trying to think of that old song. We're going to that glorious place where there'll be no more crying. There'll be no more sorrow. There'll be no more affliction or oppression. There's coming a day when there'll be no more violence. I don't know about you, but there are times when I'm scared for some of these kids. People are crazy. I mean, there are, you know, I warn my kids about the three P's. And if you're a member of this church, you've been coming for any length of time, and you're a kid, you know about the pastor's warning about the three P's. The pedophiles, the perverts. What's the other one? Predators. Amen. I made sure my kids remembered. The predators. You got to be, there's perverts, predators. They're out there, aren't they? Yeah, and you better warn your kids about them. The world is full of them. There are terrible people out there. But listen, when we get to heaven, that kind of stuff will not go on. Those people will not be there. They will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. You know, in this passage, when I read about there being no more pain, there's more than just physical pain. There's things worse than dying, people. There's emotional pain. I've got an aunt that's, I'm getting a little transparent. She has emotional trouble. You know, I can't understand it. I can't relate to it, but it's real. What she's going through is real. And she has emotional anguish that she has to deal with every day. I'm telling you, God's people won't have that in heaven. Amen. You won't have to go to a psychiatrist when you get to heaven. There won't be any of those there. There won't be any doctors there. You won't need a physician. You won't need pain meds. Amen. Yeah. Our world is full of pain. You just pick up the Sunday paper and page after page after page, you read of people that are in pain. Emotional, physical, psychological pains. There are numerous pains. Physical pains. Evil causes pain. Conduct from friends. You've caused me pain from time to time, and I'm sure I've caused you some pain from time to time. But that kind of stuff will not exist in heaven. You know what's amazing is to see a brother or a sister, siblings causing one another pain, or married couples, you know, husbands and wives causing. Have your kids ever caused you any pain? You've not known pain till you've had pain caused by your kids. Then we'll go on there. For nothing that defiles shall enter there. There are a lot of people today that will, they're lying on their beds in anguish, suffering under terrible, difficult pain. I think of Brother Ricky, still suffering great anguish from his operation, from his surgery. And when we get to heaven, there'll be no more pain. Does that calm you? Does that comfort you? It does me. We've had different diseases, different sicknesses. All of us have. I'm just glad I'm going to heaven. I'm glad that I know that all these former things shall pass away. The closest thing to heaven for me is church. To be honest with you, that's the closest thing. It's where all of God's good people, they need to be good people. Amen. come together, they worship Him, they do it on the first day of the week. Sunday for me is heaven. I mean, it's just a day of rest. Amen. I believe in a Christian Sabbath. I believe when we get to heaven, we're going to rest. Rest from our labors. We're going to worship God and serve God. We will never grow weary. We won't need to take a nap. Or have a full night's sleep. We'll need it. We'll forever be praising the Lord. You know, I love the church. I really do. I love you people. It's the greatest institution on the earth. And I believe Christ is the masterpiece of the church. But I'm not depending on the church to get me to heaven. I love baptism. It's a beautiful, wonderful, symbolic emblem of the death and burial and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, where we come forth to walk in newness of life. But I'm not depending on that church ordinance to get me to heaven. We're going to be observing the Lord's Supper tonight. Let me say this to the church members. There are many things the Lord asked you to do. There's one thing He commanded you to do, and that's to observe communion. To keep His ordinance till He returns. He commanded that of you. So we expect you to be here tonight if you're a church member. I love the ordinance of the Lord's Supper. We do show the Lord's death. We proclaim the Lord's death till He comes. But I'm not depending on the Lord's Supper to get me to heaven. That's not how I get Jesus in me. I am depending on the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. He is the door. Amen. He that believeth on me, Jesus said, shall have everlasting life. You must trust in Jesus with all of your heart. There was during the war at Gettysburg, there was an army surgeon, and I'm closing, that was going through the battlefield. And there was people on all sides that were dead, and he was trying to find somebody, this surgeon was, to help, that was still alive. And there was a man in a ditch on his back, and he was moving, and so the man jumped off his horse, the surgeon did, and went down in this trench. And when he arrived there, the man was not dead, but he would smile real big and whisper, "Here, here, here." The surgeon shook him and finally brought him to a state of consciousness. And he said, "You know, why were you saying here?" He said, "I was in heaven and they were calling my name because I trusted in Jesus when I was a little boy with all of my heart." And he said, "They were calling the roll and I was saying, here, here. I tell you, when the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there." And when they start reading from the Lamb's Book of Life, amen, I'm going to answer here. Here! I hope this morning you can say here. When the roll is called up yonder. Amen? Yeah. Because of Jesus Christ, nothing shall enter that place that shall defile.